Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone, talking this morning with John Jorgensen of the John Jorgensen Bluegrass Band. And they're performing this weekend at the Warren Cultural Center in Greenfield, a Saturday night show starting at 7 o'clock. And we hope that folks will pack that place for that show. John, how are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Very
Looking
good.
Forward to the show.
You bet. Hey, tell us about the John Jorgensen Bluegrass Band. What are its roots?
Well, I'm John. I'm the leader myself, and I play mandolin and guitar and sing. And Herb Peterson plays banjo and sings. Herb and I have played together since 1985 when we met on a tour to back up Dan Fogelberg. And then we ended up playing in a group called the Desert Rose Band for many years. We had a very good success on country radio. But both big bluegrass bands, so we decided to join up about, it's been 10 years ago now, and with two of our friends, Mark Fain is our bass player. He's from Tennessee, and he played for 17 years with Ricky Skaggs and also plays with Rosa and Cash, Ryke Hooter, many others. And our guitarist is named Patrick Sauber. He's also from Southern California and has played with a lot of great bluegrass artists. So we came together about 10 years ago, and we've been traveling the country and singing some traditional bluegrass and some more contemporary songs from songwriters like Rodney Crowell and Guy Clark and Emmylou Harris and J.D. Souther and Chris Hillman. So it's very song-oriented, a lot of harmony vocals, a lot of great playing on the mandolin, banjo, guitar, and bass. And we're just excited to come to Greenfield. Never played there before.
Oh, very good. Talk about bluegrass. What got you interested in the first place in that style of music?
Well, you know, I first heard it when I was in high school. I grew up in California, so it was not a big bluegrass area where I lived. But I heard a band when I was in high school, and I thought that was the fastest music I'd ever heard. I never thought that I could play it. But I grew up playing classical music and rock music. And then in my early 20s, I got a job where I needed to play bluegrass mandolin. And I was getting paid for it. And so I just started practicing and practicing, and I kind of fell in love with the music. And that was at Disneyland in California. And the more I learned about it, the more I liked it. And I ended up playing over the years with some fantastic musicians like Ricky Skaggs and Doc Watson and Earl Scruggs and David Grisman. And so I've been very lucky. And Herb Peterson comes from a long tradition of bluegrass as well. He filled in for Earl Scruggs with Flatt and Scruggs. He also played in the Dillards, replacing Doug Dillard. And so bluegrass music is, it's just something that's part of my soul, I think. I love the feeling of it, the all acoustic instruments, the harmony vocals. It just makes me feel good to play it, and it makes a lot of people feel good to listen to it.
You know, I've had other musicians tell me that bluegrass is kind of the true American music. So much of what we listen to comes from someplace else, and we modify it. But the bluegrass is true American music with its roots here. Is that something you would agree with?
Well, I would say kind of, yeah. It's there's a lot of Irish Celtic music, you know, in the fiddle aspect of the music. But then the blues part of it is kind of mixed with the Appalachian and blues. And it certainly comes from America, the melding of those two things. And yeah, it's one of the true roots American musics, I would say, definitely.
John, how does bluegrass stay popular these days with so many genres out there these days and so many things happening in the music industry? How does bluegrass continue to have a following?
I think it's just, you know, when people hear it, they're really attracted to the organic quality of it. And I think probably parents take their kids to bluegrass festivals, and, you know, you can play around a campfire or in the woods. You don't need electricity. I think with so many things becoming more electronic, you know, music that's created by artificial intelligence and computers and synthesizers. There's something that's very appealing about just natural singing, the sound of acoustic instruments like a guitar and a mandolin and a banjo. I think people are really drawn to that, and maybe even more now than in the past, because it's becoming a rarer thing. And I think, you know, people just connect with it, and they hear it probably from their families. They might hear it in movies or, you know, even on TikTok, however people hear music these days.
That's true. That's true. And there are so many ways in a studio to mask music, or singers for that matter. We all know that. But when it comes to this style of music, you kind of have to be good.
You kind of have to be able to sing well and sing with other people, and you have to play well, you know, because the rest of the band's relying on each member. You know, it's kind of like a car. You know, if you've got one low tire, it's just not going to drive very well. So, yeah, everybody's got to be on their toes and want to play together too. So that the ensemble part of it and the feeling of four people working towards the same end goal, I think people can really relate to that feeling as well.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it a little bit here earlier, talking about some of the folks that you've had a chance to play with, but you've really had a chance to coordinate and work with a lot of big names in music in different genres.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, from people like Benny Goodman in jazz, and Little Richard and Carl Perkins and early rock and roll, and Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard, country, and people from the 60s, like from the Monkees and the Buffalo Springfield and the Byrds and Bob Dylan, and from the 70s, like Elton John and Billy Joel, from the 80s, George Michael, even the Spice Girls, Luciano Pavarotti, Barbara Streisand. It's a crazy list of people, and I've been very, very lucky over my career.
Yeah, that's a very eclectic list. That's for sure.
No kidding.
It spans a lot. How do you make those transitions, though? I mean, I guess if you're able to play the bluegrass like you do, obviously you're outstanding musicians, but does that make it easier to make those transitions?
You know, for me, the elements of music are the same no matter what style you're playing. And the styles of music are a little bit more like an accent. You know, certain, like when I pick up a rock and roll style guitar, it doesn't make me want to play bluegrass, you know, or if I pick a classical instrument, it makes me want to play classical music. So it's almost like, you put on an outfit in a way, like if you put on a tuxedo, it doesn't make you want to go do the lawn, you know? So the styles to me kind of go with a mindset and a whole idea and the songs that you're playing at the moment as well.
You bet. Well, the Warren Cultural Center will be it'll be a cozy atmosphere. Do you like those kind of settings?
Oh, the best. For this kind of music, since it's acoustic, usually the smaller the better.
Very good. Coming up on Saturday, September 16th, 7 o'clock. Tickets, by the way, are $20 for adults and free admission for high school and younger students. It's part of their Locals and Legends series. And you can go online and get your tickets at warrenculturalcenter.com, or if you're lucky and some are left, you can get them at the door too. But that's coming up again this Saturday. That's J2B2, the John Jorgensen Bluegrass Band, appearing at the Warren Cultural Center in Greenfield. We've been visiting with John Jorgensen here this morning. John, thank you so much for the time and sharing some stories. Hope you have a great show.
Hey, Jim, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for helping get the word out. Looking forward to seeing everybody out there.